introduction. It's about 3 years ago or a little more now when he rose up and announces that he's unplugging everything and going to finish his degree in Bible and go to Japan. I don't know who does that. I don't know how you do that, but he did it and he stayed on schedule and he's been there for 10 months, going on a year. And it feels like 10 years, I'll tell you that, with my granddaughter gone. But he's here today to tell you the progress that they have made in the work there, both his family and the members there. And I'll turn it over to my son, William.
The invitation song is God is Calling the Prodigal Son, and I can't help but feel like that's him, you know, the prodigal son. The father was so happy when the son came back from the foreign land, right? So maybe he's giving me a sign there. Well, everyone, good morning. Or as we say in Japan, Minasan Ohayo Gozaimasu. Broadway Kiristo no Kyokai e Yokoso. Watashi wa anata no bokushi desu, William Adams desu, yoroshiku onegaishimasu. So now when the audio recording comes out, you can plug that into the translator and figure out what I just said to you. But my mom has been telling me for the past few weeks, oh, it'd be so cool, you gotta get up there and speak Japanese to him. So there you go, that's your Japanese lesson for the day. I have a PowerPoint slide here to my right. If you can't see that, if it's a little too dim, maybe raise your hand. We've got some QR codes. If you've got a smartphone, you can scan the QR code. The keeper of the QR code can pass around there. If you want to raise your hand now, if you can't see it, it pulls up a Google Doc, which has all of the same slides, and you can follow along that way if you prefer. I like to think that the mission report stands pretty good on its own without the slides, but you know, maybe 95% of it's pretty good. It's still good to see the pictures, too. It helps. If you'd like to start with a scripture, we can read Proverbs chapter 16, verse 9. If you'd like to turn there in your Bibles, we've got a couple more QR codes if you can't see this. Should be good there. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 9. The heart of man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps. As my dad said, we did make a plan 3 years ago, and pretty much every single thing on that plan was accomplished or is in progress, and we've got more plans for the future, but ultimately, as we can see from this verse, it is not of our own accord that these things were accomplished. It is the Lord himself who gets all the credit. So it's now been 9 months since we left for Japan, and I will say, looking around here this morning is amazing. To have this many people all united in Christ under one roof is extremely special. And I hope that when you look around and see this many brothers and sisters in Christ that you do not take it for granted, because this is a blessing that not everyone in the world has access to. But it's great to be back here with you all and to be able to hear a language that I fully understand everywhere I go. I wish that my wife Randy and daughter Vivian could have been here on this trip as well, but you know, somebody's got to stay back behind in Shizuoka and hold things down. I'm excited to bring you this mission update and to hopefully encourage you all to start working for the Lord in your own lives if you haven't already. And if you have already begun, then I hope to impart some lessons that we've learned within the field. Now, the main reason we were back was for that preacher's conference in Sevierville, Tennessee called Polishing the Pulpit. We were there as exhibitors, but if you didn't have a chance to go out there, then I want to encourage you all to follow us on YouTube and Instagram and subscribe to our monthly newsletter, which you can do right there on our website to keep up with all the good news as it comes out. I'm happy to report that it is all pretty much good news. Every single task that we listed in our initial mission plan to get started in Japan has either been accomplished or is in progress. You see, we had plans to move to Japan, to work with the existing congregations, to teach English classes, to enroll in Japanese language school, to hold regular church services, and teach Bible classes, and all of these plans have begun. By God's grace, He has made it work. It hasn't been easy, and it hasn't always been fun, but nevertheless, He has established our steps. We currently live in Shizuoka, Japan, where missionary Sarah Andrews planted four churches about 100 years ago, and all four of those churches are still active today. Our two main churches that we are associated with are the Okitsu Church of Christ and the Oiwa Church of Christ, which are about five train stations away from each other. We conveniently live just down the street from the Oiwa congregation. You can see a little yellow dot down there is the church, and that dot right there, that's where we live. It's about 5 minutes by bicycle. There's also the Shimizu Church, which is next to, in the city next to Okitsu, and we have regular contact with them, and I will preach there on occasion. And then there's a church called the Numazu Church, which is the fourth of the Sarah Andrews plants, that is a little further east from us, but I have not had any contact with anyone there, but I have heard that they are still holding regular worship services. They are in need of a preacher, last I heard, though, if anyone feels the call to come to Japan. So here's what our normal week looks like. Monday through Friday, Vivian, our daughter, is in school from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m., and I'm in language school from 1 p.m. to 4:30. Every Wednesday morning, we ride out to Okitsu for a prayer meeting at 8 a.m., and then by 9 a.m., we travel to someone's house for a Bible study until 11 a.m. This year, it's been the same house, but we'll talk about that more here in a second. Every Thursday evening, Randy rides over to Okitsu to teach an adult English class that has between one and four students, and then every Friday afternoon, she has a kids' English class at the Oiwa building, which has as many as seven or eight kids in attendance. Every Sunday morning, we travel to Okitsu for morning worship in Japanese, and on the first Sunday of every month, I preach, and Brother Shinazaki here translates these sermons. They are recorded and posted on our YouTube page if you'd like to go back and listen to everything we've got so far. Now that doesn't, let's see, then after that, every Sunday afternoon, we ride back to Oiwa and we have an English service there, which doesn't include all the time spent on building upkeep, visiting various local offices to make sure that we're up to date on everything, or downtime for illnesses and regular chores and all that good stuff that everyone has to do. So needless to say, we are extremely busy all the time. My language school went to summer break 2 days after I got on the plane to come here this trip, and they return, well, which is pretty much right now today in Japan, Monday, and I don't get back till Wednesday. So 2 days before I get back, they're already back in school. So no summer break for me this year. In the church out there, we've had as many as 30 people in attendance, which is just about every single one of these seats full, all the way down to just as few as one person in attendance, just me. Now, we knew that this was a possibility when we first started. In fact, we wondered if we would even be accepted by the locals. We wondered if they would even care to meet at the church or talk with us about the Bible. Would we be rejected? Was there any need for us even to go? Then, right before we showed up and began working, two people named Michael and Christine reached out to us. They are a Filipino family living a couple cities west of us and had been praying for English services and were so excited to hear that we were coming. Then just after we got there, we had a kids' day at Okitsu, and Christine here brought her daughter, and then Miss Hitomi there saw the flyer in the window and decided to stop by with her daughter and see what church was all about. See, she'd lived in Okitsu her entire life. That church has been there 100 years, so she'd seen it, grew up knowing about it, and always wondered, what was Christianity? So right away, we had several people that were our age, that had kids, who were interested in attending church services and needed us there for support. The next month was December, and we had just moved out of the Okitsu building to be closer to Oiwa and Vivian's schools, when we decided to host a Christmas event at the church building. Now, without much time to plan or to gather resources, we managed to invite a very handsome Santa, to have a milk and cookies event with the kids after telling the adults what the church is all about. We were inspired by the success of the Kids' Day flyer that was at the Okitsu building, so we posted flyers right outside the building, unsure if anyone would actually show up. Now, we had one family come just because of the flyers, which is the Fujimoto family, which they have three kids that are aged from 1 year old to 10, and two older daughters in their 20s, and they live right next door to the church. They went to Christian schools when they were younger, and they'd been next to this church for the last 5 years and have been praying for church services to attend. This was one of the tasks on the original to-do list, was to get this Oiwa Church Christ building back up and running. See, Sarah Andrews planted this church back in 1925. You can see kind of the bottom left of the sign there. And for 99 straight years, it had a congregation, people that would consider themselves members of this church, but they had not been holding regular worship services. In December of 2024, the last living member passed away. Before then, she turned legal ownership of this building over to Brother Shinazaki, who is sponsoring our visas on the Japan side of things. And for every month since December of 24, he would hold a Japanese service on the first Sunday of every month. Now, sometimes he would also get several people that would show up, and sometimes it was only him and his prayers. This went on for about a year straight until we moved into the neighborhood in December of last year, and we wasted no time getting the doors open again, starting with this Christmas event. And since then, we've held bilingual services every Sunday for the last 8 months. We, of course, intend to keep going, but ultimately we are subject to the will of the Japanese government, and it is very easy to get rejected during the renewal process. So if that happens, we have all but 30 days to vacate the country. Now, there was one major problem with reopening this church. The previous preacher passed away about 10 years ago, and many of his belongings are still taking up a lot of space within the building. And what's more than that is it seems that there was a previous member of the congregation that was using the church as an office for their business, for a solar panel company. And then when that church all but disbanded, it sure looks like the church was used as a trash can. There are a bunch of junk electronics that have been left behind since it can be costly and difficult to dispose of, because you can't just throw this stuff away in your regular weekly trash. Well, somehow we found ourselves as the Church of Christ representatives on several Christian committees that are located in Shizuoka, and we let them know about the problems that we were having with all of this junk. And very soon after, two of the other committee members who go to two different churches started showing up several times over the last few months and began loading up some of that junk into their vans and driving it to the dump for us. So lesson number one, don't be afraid to ask for help, because ultimately we know the source of our help is God, but we never know who he's going to send. And now with their help, we are almost completely done cleaning out enough stuff to have two fully functioning classrooms. So let me ask you, does that seem like we're being rejected or that there was no need for us to go in the beginning? Another item on that to-do list was to get Vivian and I enrolled in our respective schools. And here she is at the bottom of this photo at her entrance ceremony for her school. And despite how she looks, she is very happy to go. Now, this was part of the timing issue that we ran into while planning to work in Japan those 3 years ago. See, when we started, she was only two. And I knew that if we wanted to get her started in a Japanese school, then we needed to stick to that strict schedule and enter the field by 2025. Otherwise, she would have to start school in America, and we were just worried that she might not adjust as easily if she already had some idea of what school should look like. But kids are flexible, and she's actually doing really well over there. She's always had this huge imagination, and while she's playing with her dolls and narrating their little adventures, It's quickly turned into 100% Japanese dialogue. She's very quickly surpassed all of us in her speaking ability, using words that we don't even know, which can be kind of dangerous, I think. She sounds very native, and the Japanese parents are always remarking in amazement on how natural she sounds. See, at the beginning of all this, I started calling her our secret weapon when we were planning. And that nickname is coming true in many ways. See, not only is she soaking up the language like a sponge, but she's also responsible for more first-time attendees at the church in the last 6 months than probably every missionary that we have in Japan combined. You see, Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 22 and 23, "I have become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some. I do it all for the sake of the gospel, that I may share with them in its blessings." Well, here she is, becoming all things to all people. She is a friend magnet. And where there are friends her age, there are parents for us to meet and to introduce to our whole reason for being there. Because I don't know if it's obvious or not, but we don't exactly blend in. Some people are naturally curious as to why we're living in their country because of this. So lesson number two, the smallest people can make the biggest difference. One sweet lady that Shinozaki and I get to study the Bible with on Wednesdays is Sachiko. She is sitting right here to my right in this photo, and her husband is standing there behind her. She was there when we first visited Shizuoka back in 2024, and I was informed that her and her husband were not baptized. So, of course, you know, I tried to add in a little something to my sermons that would hopefully help highlight the necessity for baptism through the lens of the Japanese culture, which is a very difficult thing to do. And then in spring of 2025, she was diagnosed with an aggressive form of cancer. Now, they began to fight it with various medicines and chemotherapy, and by December of last year, the tumors had shrunk enough for her to undergo an 18-hour surgery. Now, unfortunately, they were not able to remove all of the cancer, and she is still undergoing treatment. So, if you have room on your prayer list, pray for her and her recovery. She spent a few weeks out of church after the surgery, at which point Shinozaki and I decided to start visiting her in her house on Wednesday mornings after those midweek prayer meetings. We would answer her questions, teach her lessons from the Bible, and really just listen to her vent her frustrations about the world. When we finally heard those wonderful words, "What must I do to be saved?" Now, Shinozaki explained that there were some things that you need to understand about who Jesus is and what baptism means before you take that plunge. So we set up a study schedule. We took turns teaching her these things, and then right at the end of February of this year, she finally said, "Okay, I understand. I am ready to be baptized." To which I still remember Shinozaki-san high-fiving me there as we were walking to the car in excitement. But the only thing that worried me was that she wanted to wait until this year's Easter service to be baptized. She wanted it to coincide with the resurrection. That, and it marked the one-year anniversary of her cancer diagnosis. You see, she wanted to remember April as when her life truly began and not when she received a death sentence. Now, I'm not a big fan of waiting. Once you've decided to do something like this, especially if you're not in good health, but all we could do is trust in the Lord to keep her safe until April. So in the meantime, we continued studying and made sure that she understood everything there was to know about baptism. Now, I remember asking her how her husband felt about all this, and she said, "He's okay with bringing me to church, and he knows that it's what I need, but he says he's not interested in learning about the Bible." Which I won't ever say is okay, but it wasn't a mind-blowing fact to hear. You see, he had been working every Wednesday that we were holding these Bible studies, and I was sad that he was missing out. So a few weeks went by. The day that she decided to be baptized was approaching, and she let us know that, well, she just hadn't quite told her husband yet that she had decided to be baptized. You see, she was worried that he would be mad at her for wanting to become a true Christian. Because you got to keep in mind, both families have a very tight connection with the local Buddhist temple. So she finally told him, and he was hurt. Now, I won't say mad, because knowing him, he's pretty even-tempered. But he wasn't happy. Not because she wanted to get baptized, but because she didn't ask him if he wanted to be baptized too. See, if his wife had found the secret to everlasting life, then he wanted to be a part of it as well. So this was an obvious cause for rejoicing. But of course, we want to make sure that he understood what it was he was doing and that he truly believed, before baptism to prevent any misconceptions later on. You know, we didn't want like a bandwagon effect type of thing going, right? So there was one more problem. As we were making the final plans for baptism, they didn't realize that they would have to get wet. Remember when I said we're making sure they understood everything? All right, that one's on us. All right. So there's another lesson from the field. Never assume anything is understood the way you understand it. Be ready to give all the details and know where to back up your teachings in Scripture. Because no one cares what your qualifications are. No one cares what you think personally. The only authority we have is what is written in the Scripture. So, we're making plans on how to get them both comfortable with being submerged and then getting them dry quickly afterwards, because the plan was to baptize them at that Shimizu Church, the only Church of Christ in Shizuoka that has a baptistry. And I was informed that it had been 40 years since the last baptism there at that church. So I was really looking forward to that. I'm not even 40 years old. It was at that point that she let us know that due to her cancer, the doctor has warned her not to get too cold. You see, this baptistry, while it is the only one, doesn't have a heater installed in it. So it is icy cold tap water going into that thing. So, I bought a heater on Amazon. You can get a little portable heater for an emergency shower, because we weren't going to let any little thing like that get in the way of the Lord adding to his kingdom. But, I've got to tell you, we never ended up using it. Because in the week leading up to the Easter service, they had apparently backed out of wanting to be baptized, which is another danger of waiting. But, you know, if you're not ready, then you're not ready. I'm not sure on every detail of why they wanted to back out. I think it had something to do with telling somebody who maybe wasn't quite as encouraging about their decision. But it does not matter, because in the end, God won. I got the call on April 1st that we were going to their house that night to baptize them. We were going to baptize her and her husband in their bathtub without further delay. And so that's exactly what we did. And on April 1st of this year in Shimizu, Japan, in a bathtub that was much hotter than that little emergency shower could have ever gotten, God added two new souls to the kingdom. You see, it turns out that waiting period between February and April was not waiting at all. It was God working on both of them. And instead of being baptized alone, she got to see her husband become a child of God on the same day as her. So the next lesson from the field, don't rush the Lord. Trust in his timing, because I think he's proven himself enough times for us to at least give him that, right? And when I tell you that there was a physical transformation within the eyes of Sachiko's husband, I mean it. In a very short time, especially by Japanese standards, which we estimated would take about 5 years to baptize a single person, we saw someone go from not interested in learning about the Bible to publicly confessing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that the power of the Holy Spirit raised him from the dead on the third day. And if that doesn't strengthen your faith, then I don't know what will. Maybe you just had to be there. So we continue to study with them until this day. And then, just a few weeks later in April, I enrolled in Japanese language school. Let's see. I told you I don't blend in. I wonder if you can find me in there. Probably that one that's shining like a beacon in the back there. Which this just might be the hardest thing I've ever had to do. Now, I'm sure everyone who learns this language feels the same way, but there are some really tricky parts to this language. To me, it feels like four different languages hiding in a trench coat, pretending to be one language. And not just because of the hiragana, the katakana, and the kanji, which is their three alphabets, and each hiragana and katakana both have like 42 characters themselves, and then kanji's got over 10,000. But because of all the different ways to say the same thing. You see, you've got normal textbook speak, which apparently makes me sound distant and robotic. And then you've got friend speak, more casual, that's used for your close friends and family, but never with your boss or your elders. And then you've got the highest level of honorifics, which is reserved for making yourself very low and placing a lot of respect on whoever you're speaking to. Now, it would be very weird to use this language with your friends. And maybe it would be weird to speak to your boss this way, unless maybe you were a member of the Yakuza or, I don't know, worked for the royal family there, the emperors. But in our case, working for God, you would use this level of honor for preaching about God. Because if there is a highest level of speech, then our Lord is the one who is worthy of receiving it. So, with this level of difficulty, with this level of cultural knowledge required to work in the field, a very common question is raised. Why Japan? Why a foreigner at that? Why not leave Japan to the Japanese? Because if you know anything about their government, and I've been told that the news has made it back to America about all the different regulations and stuff they're putting in place, you'd agree that that sounds exactly like what they want, right? Leave Japan to the Japanese. But not all of them want that, and our God doesn't want it either. One of the very crucial items required to get a visa is that you must be invited. Well, we were invited. Another crucial item is that you must be sent, and we were sent. And those answers are good enough to satisfy the government on their requirements, but individuals are a little different. And supporting churches are a little different as well. So when we're asked why Japan, we need to have more sufficient answers. One person asked me, why do the churches need you? Why not just let the Japanese Christians handle it all? Which is a great question, deserving a great answer. Why not let them handle it? Why should we even bother? But the first thing you must understand is that there is no such thing as a Japanese church, or an American church, or a European church, or an African church. You see, there is one church, and it belongs to Jesus. They are as much our brothers and sisters as in Christ as the people sitting next to you right now. So there is no leaving the Japanese church to the Japanese, because that makes about as much sense as being lukewarm within your own church. There is much work to be done, my friends. The harvest is bountiful and the laborers are few. Now, of course, that answers the question on a spiritual level. What about on a cultural level? Because if you remember what I just said about all the honorific levels, things like that are baked into the culture. It is invisible red tape everywhere. And as a Japanese person, you are expected to know and to follow these rules to a T. And if you break them too many times, you are ousted from society. But guess who isn't expected to follow those rules? That guy. Foreigners. Now, that's not a free pass to just go over there, say, and act like however I want, because there are limits. But it does bring down some of those barriers that have been standing for centuries. See, as a foreigner, I'm able to teach those who are older than me without being completely written off right from the beginning. Shinozaki-san once told us that if he were to try and pass out flyers or talk about religion to other Japanese, he would be immediately labeled a cultist and a madman. You see, we have the privilege of bringing the gospel to people of all ages without these barriers. Not only that, but if you look at the statistics, there's just not that many Japanese Christians, and the number is shrinking every year. They can't possibly reach everyone in Japan in a timely manner, and truth be told, we can't either. We can't do it alone. You see, the kingdom needs workers. It needs sowers. And if you think that's you, then let's go. Because we've already hosted several groups of missionaries this year who are interested in joining the cause. And now if you don't think that's you, then let's go. Because we are all called to spread the good news, not just in Japan, but everywhere we go. And that's why I want to encourage you all this morning to start where you're at. Start today. Because just like planting a tree, the best time to start was 30 years ago. But the second best time is right now. Now, there is no, when I get to the field, I'll get started, I'll be a missionary then. No, no. The moment you decided to put Christ first in your life is the moment you became a missionary. And for what I imagine is 99% of you baptized Christians here this morning, that means you. You are a missionary. And here's one thing I thought of this past trip, so I'm going to ad-lib this in here real quick. I'm standing before you now giving a mission report as your missionary, but one day you're going to have to give that great big mission report in the sky. So it's a bit of a joke. You can laugh at that part. But it's kind of true, right? Mission report in the sky. You see, because if God is first in your life, then everything else that you say and everything that you do is going to honor and glorify and teach others about him. Now, maybe your mission field isn't a plane ride away. Maybe it's not a public speaking role or a classroom role. Maybe it's where you're already at. Maybe it's the friendships you make at work, or maybe it's the family member you have that doesn't know God yet. Now, maybe that's where you come in to be the difference in their lives. Because I know that God has a plan for you all. And he has equipped you with everything that you need to make a difference. He's given you a talent. Don't bury it in the sand, right? We know the master doesn't like that. In the parable of the talents, we all want to be that 10-talent guy, right? The one who's given the most to work with, the one who can do the most for the church. But what if you're not the 10-talent guy? What if you're not even the 5-talent guy? Because truthfully, some days I feel lucky if I'm even the 1-talent guy. And as Shinazaki once said to me, some days I'm not even a denarii. But it doesn't matter how much you're given, right? And it doesn't even matter if you are successful, right? Because what does Paul say? He said, I planted, Apollos watered, but who was it who gave the increase? It was God. The success is not on you. God provides that. So why would you worry? Be a friend for God. Be his secret weapon. So maybe you're here this morning, although it is afternoon now. So maybe you're here this afternoon, and you're suddenly feeling so incredibly inspired and encouraged to give your life to God. Well, here is water behind me. Maybe you're ready to put God first again in your life and become the missionary that he needs you to be. Well, let's use this time now. Let's talk about that and get you started. If you have any of these needs or any doubt in your mind, then I want to tell you that right now is not the best time to handle that. Because that was yesterday, and that was last week, last month, last year. But right now is all that we ever have. And right now is the second best time to handle that. So, if you have this or any other need, please come now while we stand and sing the invitation song.